It's Bull's Eye on the Afternoon with Andy Bull Barch and Matt Douglas.
This guy's going to hurt us, Bull?
No, Donnie. These men are cowards.
On AM 930 WEOL.
Minutes away from 4 o'clock, Bullseye on the Afternoon on AM 930 WEOL. Andy Bull Barch and Matt Douglas with you. Well, this song ought to get you fired up for some high school hoops. And we've got some high school hoops tonight. North Ridgeville, Olmsted Falls on the boys' side, 7 o'clock, Dr. Karen Kramer pregame show. Girls' basketball tomorrow. As a matter of fact, the exact same matchup at 1 o'clock. Let's head to the hotline and continue talking high school hoops. You read them every Friday morning with the boys' high school basketball top five. He's got the player of the week in there as well. He is the one and only Joel Hammond. Joel, how are you, my friend?
Andy, Matt, I'm doing great. Thanks for having me today.
Always a pleasure to have you on, my friend. And, boy, today you did a feature on Open Door. And I know the Patriots are a team that we have talked about a ton throughout the course of the season. They are red hot right now and a very intriguing team.
I'll tell you, no matter who's on your schedule, you know, Open Door plays some teams that, you know, frankly, just can't match up with their talent level. But no matter who's on your schedule, winning 11 in a row is tough to do. And they've won 11 in a row. And maybe the most impressive part about that, which I wrote this morning, was, you know, they've beaten three Division I teams in that span. You know, again, these aren't the Lorraines of the world or the St. Ed's of the world or whomever, but these are schools that outnumber Open Door's enrollment by hundreds on the boys' side. So, you know, they beat Amherst and John Hay at the Wellington Holiday Tournament, and then they beat Massillon Washington along the way too. So, you know, it was really surprising. I think we talked previously, Andy, about that being a bit of a surprising scheduling move, right? How do you get that team on your schedule, and all of a sudden, not only do you schedule them, you beat them too. And early in the year, their last loss actually was to Avon, another Division I school. They lost to the Eagles by 4. So they've had a really, really strong year. They've got a lot of talent on their team, and it's been fun to watch them.
Yeah, and I think that's a team, too, that with all of that length, so many different scoring options as well. I mean, you detailed some of that in your article this morning, but I think it's fascinating how they were able to get a team like Massillon Washington and come play them, and I credit Massillon Washington for doing that. Not many big schools would do that, but I actually saw the two games they played against those two Division I teams you mentioned at the very forefront of that in Amherst, a game they won in overtime, and they destroyed John Hay as well. But I think this is only going to help them out come tournament time.
Yeah, I think Coach Todd Wright feels the same way. You know, first of all, there's a confidence factor there that we can play with these big teams, and it just does wonder. You know, when you're a school like that who doesn't get those teams on their schedule all the time, you wonder how you stack up against these teams. And frankly, Andy, when they get to the Division IV tournament, and I know the draw is next weekend, and we'll have coverage of that on the 11th in the Chronicle Telegram. But you know, when you get to the tournament in that Division IV, you know, you think that division is going to be easy. But, you know, in their district, they've got Columbia, they've got Richmond Heights, and they've got Cornerstone Christian. So they have teams in their district that certainly play tough schedules. They play against the best teams in the region and play higher than a Division IV team normally would. So they'll have to be on their best game in the tournament to be able to compete with some of those teams. And those wins will, you know, presumably give them some confidence in doing so.
I think what's impressed me the most, at least from watching their schedule and the fact they've played against those D1s, is you'd think, when you think about Open Door, you think Miles Hunt, Jared Bublenik, Trey Brooks, Carter Wright, and you think who beyond that. But obviously they've got some depth on that team if they're taking on those big schools, and they can rely on more than just those four guys to help them get point. At least that's what stands out to me, is they're beating the D1s. You would think the D1s would have that depth opportunity over them.
Yeah, like I said, you know, those D1s that Andy saw it too. I mean, those aren't the you know, regional qualifying D1s. But again, like you said, I mean, Amherst has a kid, you know, a 6'8" kid or 6'7" or however tall he is, and they've got some athletes on the wing. And you know, I think when I spoke with coaches who have seen Open Door, I think, you know, their top five is really strong. You mentioned the four, Matt. Add Gavin Dobbins, who's a sophomore who can really shoot it. You know, Todd Wright, of course, is bullish on his guys. He says he's confident in his 10 players that he can put anybody out there at the same time, and they'll get the job done. I think opposing coaches view Open Door's weakness as, you know, there's a severe drop-off. Of course, there's going to be when you have that much talent in your starting five. So I think opposing coaches are looking at Open Door as, look, if we can get them up and down, if we can run with them, if we can tire them out a little bit, I think we'll have an advantage. And it's up to Open Door to be able to combat that, keep guys out of foul trouble, keep Luke Lennick and Brooks and Miles Hunt on the court, and, you know, combat that strategy by opponents.
Just curious, Columbia beat Open Door earlier this year. Do you think those two teams have grown since that time? Do you think that'd be a closer game? I think Columbia won by 9 the first time around if those two met again.
Yeah, Columbia beat them by 17. They won 68-51, and it was early. You know, I think that, you know, it's hard to take too much from early season matchups. Teams are still kind of feeling their way through the season. At the same time, Matt, you know, this is an Open Door team who's been together. These four, you know, their top three players at least, Wright and Brooks and Bublenik, you know, mm-hmm. they've been together for a long time. So you wouldn't think that it would take them that long to get going. So I think Columbia seems to match up well with them. You know, Columbia's a really deep team. They've got four or five guys that can score just like Open Door, and they've got plenty of size too. So whereas maybe some of these other D4 teams they'll play in the tournament before they get to maybe a district semi, maybe don't have size and don't have the athleticism that Open Door does, Columbia certainly does. You know what I'll be interested to see, Matt, is what happens in that Division IV, that district draw. Like, who does Columbia – I presume Columbia will be the third seed behind Richmond Heights and Cornerstone Christian. So does Columbia choose – You know, these, as you guys know, these teams can choose which way they go and what they want to do. Do they choose to go away from Open Door? Do they choose to go play Richmond Heights or Cornerstone Christian before an Open Door matchup? Potentially, I can't see that happening. So I'll be interested to see how that district's draw especially shakes out.
Yeah, that district's nasty. Talking about that, that'll be a good one.
Yeah, I mean, typically when you think about Division IV, I mean, you're thinking about these are teams that aren't you know, these teams aren't that good, frankly. And mm-hmm. and that district, I mean, you know, EC has faced the same thing, Matt, and you guys know this. I mean, for years they go to Garfield Heights and they play, you know, they face the ASJ, Beachwood, Warrensville Heights, and now Open Door and Columbia are facing the same thing as far as Richmond Heights and Cornerstone Christian.
Joel Hammond with the Chronicle Telegram, our guest here on Bullseye on the Afternoon, talking about some high school hoops today. And before we break down the top five for this week, I want to get into the player of the week, Nick Marsh. And aside from being a big fan of Aaron Rodgers, who I know you're a big fan of, what was the most interesting thing you found out about him?
Okay, so, you know, I know there's the rivalry between Avon and Avon Lake, or Lake as Avon people call it, is fascinating. Obviously, it's pretty bitter, and I know Avon Lake has gotten some wins back on the football field the last couple of years, including a playoff win. And Nick said his favorite sports memory, which is something I ask each player of the week every week, was ending Avon's 28-game regular season win streak on the football field in September. So you know how deep that rivalry runs when that's his favorite memory. You know, on the topic of Nick Marsh, you know, Avon Lake has had a nice little stretch here, guys. They've had this same problem the last few years where they just can't seem to find any sort of consistency. They've won 3 in a row to get to 8-7 and 5-6 in the league, and actually have a pretty intriguing matchup with Lakewood tonight after having won. You know, they beat Midview, they beat Avon. Those two teams have been playing well, you know, but they lost to Amherst and they lost to Bray Midpark and got really beat up by North Ridgeville. And this has been Avon Lake's problem the last few years. Or, you know, they just cannot seem to find any consistency.
That SWC has been really interesting. It seems Berea Midpark and Avon Lake now are kind of taking everyone down. Berea Midpark's on a bit of a winning streak here too, which includes a win over Lakewood.
And they just beat up, you know, it was the Hammond curse again. We said it last week, you know. Every time I write about somebody, Berea Midpark just beat up on North Ridgeville after we featured him last week. So I'm just going to probably stop writing about.
Coaches might appreciate that at that point.
Yeah.
Hey, uh-huh. Avon Lake wins tonight. Coach Smith is going to run and hive when you try and call him next.
Oh, boy.
Just kidding. We kid. Well, taking a look at the top five here, clearly not a whole lot of change at the very top. Although, for Lorraine, this could be an interesting week because they've got three games on the slate.
Yeah, Lorraine plays at Shaw tonight, and Shaw is 4-10, so they're struggling. Maple Heights gave Lorraine – they'll play at Maple Heights on Tuesday, Lorraine will. Maple Heights gave them a really strong test in the team's first matchup this season. You know, tomorrow night, Lorraine plays host to Garfield Heights. Garfield is actually down a little bit this year. They've got two really, really good guards. Sonny Johnson's son is a freshman, and he's already received Division I offers. And I believe the other gentleman's name is Michi Johnson, his backcourt mate. And so they're really strong in the backcourt. Of course, Lorraine is really strong in the backcourt. So I anticipate Lorraine scoring another win there. You know, say Lorraine sweeps, I'm just pulling up their schedule real fast. Say Lorraine sweeps this week to go to 16-1. You know, they've got Cleveland Heights, Elyria Catholic, Lutheran East, and you know, we could be looking at another 21-1 season for Lorraine. It's just incredible what they've been able to do. You know, their schedule is not that easy. You know, I know some of these LEL teams are a bit down, but they play difficult teams, and they're just mowing these teams down once again. You know, Cleveland Heights will probably be the biggest test. They stuck around and hung and lost by 4 to Lorraine on January 11th.
Well, and you take a look at the second team on your top five, Vermilion, really shouldn't have many issues this week. They continue to roll right along, albeit it seems like they're doing so somewhat quietly. A tough week for the Elyria Pioneers, although they have a chance for their second GCC win tonight as they take on Strongsville again.
Yeah, Elyria, again, we talked about this before, Andy, where I just have a hard time moving Elyria out of the top five, even though their record indicates that they haven't had a very good season. But, you know, I just feel like Elyria, you know, they beat Clearview. I feel like Elyria, despite their poor record in the GCC, they're just a better team than some of the other teams in the county. So, you know, Open Door probably deserves a spot in the top five. I wrestle with that a little bit. But, you know, Elyria just, I mean, out of conference, they are, I'm just doing the math real quick. They're 3-1. You know, they played well out of conference. It's just that GCC just absolutely kills them. They beat Clearview. They beat Keystone. They beat Westlake, North Ridgeville. They beat North Ridgeville by 20 in the season opener. So they've stuck around just based on they're being better than their record shows.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Well, Joel, as always, we appreciate the time, my friend, and we certainly look forward to reading you again next Friday in the Chronicle Telegram as we inch closer and closer to tournament pairing time. When that's announced here in a couple of weeks, should be a lot of fun. Enjoy the weekend, my friend.
Okay, guys, take care.
You too. Again, Joel Hammond with the Chronicle Telegram joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon.